Hannah. All right, now you're just being weird.
Am I?
Actual test.
Am I?
Yes, you're being weird.
Am I testicles? So, are you ready? Are you ready to record?
I'm ready to record.
So, welcome to the podcast called Brown Samij.
Brown Samij. Samij. Wait, chemise. Isn't that a shirt in French?
I don't know. You're the one that knows how to speak French more than I do.
I'm really rusty. You could say I'm rusty.
No, welcome to Brain Sandwich, the podcast where the big questions are asked, as well as the crazy kooky ones. Like, does 1 plus 1 really equal 2?
No, it don't.
It don't?
I mean, maybe.
I'm not good at English.
English? Math? It's all the same shit.
So, what?
Oh, sorry.
Get your papers ready. Yeah, God,
I gotta take notes.
You're so unorganized.
Brain Sandwich.
Yeah,
Podcast that caresses your soul and tickles your booty.
Booty.
Haven't said in a while. Just want to let you guys know that we're always thinking about your booty.
We wouldn't be true podcasters if we didn't think about your booties.
We got your booty at our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Squeeze. As always, I'm Justin.
I'm Tommy.
Oh, God.
That first beer hit me good.
In your A&W mug?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Did you steal that?
You know how I got this? This was a gift from my coworkers when I left Walmart in high school.
And
A
stolen gift?
We went to A&W for our lunch break. We left all of our departments to one guy who was wildly inept at his job. We were gone for like 2 hours. They stole me this mug, and when we got back, we all got reprimanded, but it was my last day, so I didn't give a shit.
You were like, fuck you, I'm out,
bitch. They made me turn in my smock and badge.
Oh my God.
I love that ugly blue thing.
Really? Walmart's that cheap that they won't even let you keep that?
I mean, I guess it's against policy, because then I could impersonate a Walmart employee.
Nobody
wants that, because that's dangerous.
Well, that's against federal law.
Oh my God. I could go in on Black Fridays and just, like, sneak shit out. I was the most, like, kind of obscure employee there, too, because I was just kind of hiding in plain sight with my blue jeans and my work boots.
Your blue jeans. But actually, you know, that's probably why they don't just let people have them, because the turnover rate is probably so high that if they let everybody have
them, they would just go through smocks. That would be their entire, like, bottom end of their business, just
but also,
smocks out
also,
the door.
Like, also, people will probably do that, dress as... Like, if I dressed as a Walmart employee and went to a gigantic Walmart...
Nobody would ever know who you are.
No, I could probably
like
just
a super
in.
Center and like...
Yeah.
No, they probably... At any given time, there's probably 100 people in there doing something.
Or I could just be like, oh, it's just my first day.
I didn't even know all the people at my Walmart.
And that was before it was a super center.
Yeah, that was a tiny Walmart.
It was a tiny little Walmart. I remember when that was all Applefields.
Social experiment. We're going to convince a Walmart employee to not give in their smock. We have to first convince them to quit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, those great wages.
Speaking of jobs...
Oh, we're jumping right into it.
Well, what are we going to do before that?
I don't know. Usually the word of the day comes before the main event.
Okay, it's just because it was a nice segue into...
Actually, you know what? We're going to take this opportunity because we haven't done this before.
What?
But if you want to find out some more stuff about the podcast, now that we've got your ears and attention...
Warmed up?
Yeah, I guess.
Your ear holes warm?
Your ear holes warm because we're just burrowing in your ear holes.
Yeah.
Right
you
down to your brain.
Sexual motion. With your fangas.
Anyway, so if you want to find out more stuff about us, leave us some comments, anything, go to brainsandwich.com, brainsandwich.com.
There you go.
Find us on iTunes. Leave a review. We want the damn reviews, please.
We'll be your best friends.
Talk to us on Twitter. We're pretty good about responding. Sometimes it's Justin. Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's really obscure, stupid shit.
You'll figure it out because I'm the funny one.
But everybody's been liking my tweets the last couple of days because you were at a commission because, I've got snot in my nose.
I was pretty sick.
Brainsandwich.com.
You were still working on our MySpace page. That'll be up soon.
Yeah.
And we're building
I like how we totally neglected Facebook, by the way. We're all about the tweets. We have
a Facebook page, but...
Don't go to it. I'm not going to push it out.
Yeah, we have more action on our MySpace page.
Yeah.
Woo, 2005. I'm working on our AOL account, too. We'll see. You can find us on Ask Jeeves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really old reference.
That old poll.
GeoCities.
See, Ask Jeeves Kids was this quote-unquote search engine that was before Google was popular. And
not really.
It was around the same time. They started around the same time, didn't they?
It's when people could make the decision, do I want to search on AOL or Britannica or Yahoo?
Was Ask Jeeves the Betamax of
the Betamax
of and not the superhero show or movie kids, like the Beta VHS wars.
Yeah. You know what the worst thing that came out of the Ask Jeeves era is that when people eventually did migrate over to Google, everything they Googled had to be in the form of a question.
Oh yeah, like
old people are so bad for this.
What is the capital of question mark? Whereas you could just be like the capital of
New York capital.
Yeah.
Whichever city it is. New York.
Okay, shall we do an awkward segue into the word of the day?
Well, I mean, we
like but
if the listeners things
No, but go ahead. No. But, okay, are you gonna speak?
Word of the day.
Do you put musical stuff on there?
I do.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
You would know because you don't listen to our episodes, jackass.
Well, what can I say?
Justin. Well, actually, explanation. Again. Word of the day. A societal experiment. Burrowing into your brain. Bring it back. Maybe that's the word of the day. Burrowing into your brain. It's a phrase.
But it could be two words.
Brain burrows.
Burrow into your... Oh, no.
Burrows.
Burrows.
Word of the day is a social experiment. Not really. It's kind of a story. Well, it's a definition.
Oh, my God. Tommy picks a word off the internet.
Obscure.
Gets me to try and figure out the definition of the word.
Except he doesn't try and figure it out at all. He just makes up shit.
No. I do research.
Justin. Your word is miscellanarian.
Miscellanarian, eh?
This is our longest word of the day so far.
Okay.
Would you like it spelled?
Yes, please.
Miscellanarian. MISCELLANARIAN. William Shatner. Sure.
Well, interesting that you picked this word because it is also a second time we've had a word in the second consecutive episode where it deals with World War II, because...
You're an old horse, man. You're just throwing out the same old shit now.
No, this was your fault.
You Neolithic picked, Basset Hounds.
Basset Hounds. You picked two random words that just happened to be about... that were originated from a war, and it happened to be both World War II.
We'll see about that.
So basically, it was a profession... Actually, a missile, was it? Miscellanarian?
I love how you always start the conversation and then in the middle you're like, what was the word again? How do you spell it?
Miscellanarian, right?
No, there was no T.
Oh.
Miscellanarian.
Miscellanarian. Okay. So it originated in France in 1937.
Miscellanarian?
Yeah, it was a miscellanarian. How do you say?
Narian.
And basically, when they first were developing the missile technology, the people who worked...
You know, France was really known for their missiles.
Well, I could be wrong, but...
Shaped like cigarettes.
Like cigarettes and baguettes and berets.
A beret-shaped missile?
Yeah. Well, you know, France, obviously...
Yeah.
They had baguette-shaped missiles. And basically, if your profession was to work on missile technology, similar to a veterinarian, you were a miscellanarian, and you were a doctor of missiles. And so if they were testing out missiles and they were like, excuse me, but this missile seemed to go off into the distance and not explode, could you please take a look at it? And you'd be like, oui. And yeah, it was basically a missile doctor. Isn't that right?
It's pretty close. Miscellanarian, an author of miscellaneous novels. I mean, author.
That was doctor. My. Well, you know, when you look in the dictionary and you can have two similar but different definitions.
Oh, this is the version two of the word?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at?
You happen to pick version two. Mine's version one.
Yeah, I don't know.
And mine is that. Also the origin of the word.
No, because you're all about the origins.
Yeah.
All about the base.
All about the base. About the base.
No origin?
No origin.
Great song. Let's make it a thang.
Yeah, make it a thang. Chicken wang. But
that's kind of an interesting concept. An
chicken
author,
wings?
Yes. An author of miscellany, because that's like the ultimate crime against niche marketing, to just do everything.
Oh, so it's basically
like Walmart.
It'd be like if I was an author and I wrote a book about tiling a floor, and then I wrote a book about flying a plane, and then wrote a book about like the war of 1812. Da Vinci? So just a lot of variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, what do they call those? Not a Rembrandt.
Jack of all trades?
Yeah, I guess so.
A book of all trades?
A book of all trades. A miscellanarian of all...
Oh, that makes sense now. Miscellaneous.
You just got that?
No, I got it even before. Yes, I
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
It's kind of like general practitioners. They don't make any money because they're not the specialists. They're not those foot doctors scaling your ugly ass toes.
Toes. Your pinky toes.
Your pinky toes is all deformed with its curly nail.
Well, no, pinky toes don't have curly nails. Usually it's the big toes that do.
There's probably some people in the Guinness Book of World Records that have some curly pinky toes.
Well, if they're trying to grow their toes, that's going to be the longest toe nail.
Maybe that'll be the episode name. Curly pinky toes.
Curly pinky toes and jobs.
Let toes to curly pinky.
Okay. Shall we segue into our actual discussion?
Usually we don't get to the actual discussion until like 25 minutes in.
Well, then what'd you do today?
I built a bobsled for my niece and nephew.
Yeah, you said that on the last episode, you idiot.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
Well, I'm sorry if we're recording the same episode twice.
We don't do that.
Wait,
we record
not.
It live.
Yes. This is Wednesday.
Wednesday
January.
At time. And on January...
Future bleep.
Yeah. No, you should put
We're recording on January 17th.
No, you should awkwardly put in the... Like, re-record the actual day when you put it up, but like, really awkwardly put it in.
Yeah.
So we're talking...
So you start the episode with...
So it's, oh, welcome to our newest episode of... Blah, 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 on, and we're recording live on January...
17th. 2017
at
7:45 p.m.
which is a great time because it's really early in the morning here.
7:45 p.m.
That's why I said it, you dummy.
It makes sense.
It makes sense in my baguette head. Okay, well, let me think if I can think of... Hey, you know what?
Oh, shit. What? I did have a news piece.
Oh, Jesus, Tommy.
I wasn't reading the notes. So interesting.
Interesting.
Cadillac has a new service.
Is this classified as a did you know?
Nah, not really.
No?
Okay. It's just kind of some news. Some not like news. Depressing news. Not really happy news. Just
okay, so Cadillac has...
Cadillac has a new has a new subscription service. $1,500 a month to basically at any time trade in. It's like a leasing structure, but it includes the cost of maintenance, insurance, and all fees to just trade in and out of any Cadillac you want at any given time.
I think I've heard about... I think there might be another car company that does that, too. Where it's like basically... Like
membership programs.
It's like rent-a-car. It's like Netflix, but with cars. Wow, that is loud.
Sorry, just scribbling some notes.
I'm pretty sure it even picked up on the mic.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, it's picking
there
it up.
There we go.
No, if you had disposable income, would you do that?
It interests me because, in the sense, the all-inclusiveness, it simplifies the structure of owning a car, which in some countries, you know, England or Canada, the structure of owning cars is not like it's costly and you have to pay this person for this, like the e-tests and the safeties, yeah, and your insurance. And the thought of having everything rolled up into one and being convenient almost seems worth paying the money. And it's like the luxury line of cars, too. It's any of the Cadillacs.
Okay, so it's...
The only thing you would have to pay for is gas.
$1,500 a month?
$1,500 a month.
That's times 12.
So we're talking $15,000, just over $15,000 a year. Like $17,000, $18,000 a year to own a car, and you just have to pay for gas.
And you can have, if you wanted to, even though it'll probably be
anything awkward. That goes wrong with it is covered. Your insurance is covered. All your fees, everything. You literally just have to pay that. And you think about the people who would have that kind of money being sunk into the cars anyway. If they were like luxury car purchasers.
Well, if you think about it, if you bought a like $200,000 car, you splice that up, divide that by 15,000, let's say, how many years would that get you?
Now you just make it. I'm had two beers. I'm normally good at math, but I'm not going there.
Okay, whatever.
Anyway, it's costly.
It's costly.
Costly.
Costly. Is there? Is it like renting a? Is it like renting a movie? Is there late fees?
Yeah.
You didn't rewind the car.
No, but I thought because I've heard of different businesses. Kind of. There's a lot of.
I'm pretty sure you talked to me about something similar to that.
Maybe a business I was advising at one point was doing an all-in inclusive insurance maintenance program. Oh, that's it. Yeah. But that was for basically any car. You would go to this service, pay them one fee a month, and they would take care of your maintenance fees, your insurance, everything, whatever's left rolled over, that kind of thing. And it seems interesting in the sense that I feel like we live in a generation where everybody's like, or at least claiming to be, quote-unquote, pressed for time, even though they're really not. Yeah. Anybody that says they're pressed for time is just a biatch.
They're just bad at
managing time.
Yeah.
But in the kind of the pursuit of expediency, people want to have things just rolled into one in simple, like, one-click strategies, i.e. Amazon Prime.
Well, I think we just live in a generation where it's the now generation. Everybody wants everything right away, so if it doesn't happen within 2 minutes, then it's taking too long.
Extremely impatient people. Look at the kind of evolution of YouTube, where people are like, oh, we'll create these long form videos, and you know, long form still has its kind of its market of people that'll consume it, but it got so bad down to a position where people are like, oh no, we got to get our main message out in 5 seconds or else people are going to unsubscribe or click away.
And you know what's interesting is that we talk about it like this, but there has been times when I've thought that, like, if I want to go see a movie, but I want to know what people are saying about it beforehand, and if I jump online and start looking at reviews, if a review is a half hour long, I'm not going to watch it. Like, I'll watch it after I watch the movie, if I really like the reviewer. Like Angry Joe, he does video game reviews, but all of them are at least 20 minutes to a half hour to 45 minutes long. And I'm just like, dude, you don't need to have... And you know what the problem is with Angry Joe? I have two problems with him, actually. And I get it. It's part of his character, I guess. He's always yelling, and he talks loud. He doesn't need to. And also...
But would he cease to be Angry Joe?
I know. That's the thing. Like, it goes with
it's
his...
It's a shtick.
It's a shtick. But then he also just intersplices, like... gameplay of him just playing the game too. So there'll be like 5-10 minutes of him discussing the game and going, oh, okay, this is blah blah blah, it's this much at online, la 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 la, and then all of a sudden it'll just jump to him from a view of a shitty webcam of him sitting in his like living room playing the game and then just yelling at the game if it's doing something annoying.
So a PewDiePie?
Yeah, but PewDiePie's funny though.
Yeah,
he's not funny. And so, like, out of a half-hour video, I would say almost 15 minutes of him is just sitting quietly playing a game, trying to talk about it or just yelling at it. I'm like, this is not... I want to know your opinion, your final opinion, your quick, short opinion on this. I don't want to know, oh, when you get to level blah, 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 usually the game freezes up or some idiot comes in and talks to you. Oh, it's so annoying. Eh. And I'm just like, dude, come on.
You know who's really good for creating content that caters to both sides? Because I'm the same way, but different, I guess, because I was going to say, like, you listen to, like, 2 and 3 hour podcasts.
Yeah.
But you don't want to listen or watch a 20-minute video.
No.
Which, I guess it depends on the medium of content you're consuming. But, like, good people who are good at marketing will kind of create a way to, I guess, appease both sides. Mm-hmm. And you know who's really good at it? Is Dave Rubin.
Yeah.
Creating long-form hour and a half interviews and splicing each piece up that can be consumed, because some people don't want the entire interview with Sam Harris or Margaret Cho. They just want sound bites from something that's in the news or whatever.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, he'll post up a 20-minute interview with Sam Harris, and he'll say, on the thumbnail, it'll just say, Sam Harris talks about two topics.
Yeah.
And it'll be 20 to 25 minutes long. But the thing is, like, I wouldn't even feel bad, really, or not bad, but it wouldn't annoy me watching a lot of Dave Rubin stuff, though, because
I really like Dave Rubin, so it's a bad example.
Yeah,
I watch a lot of his stuff.
And he's just good to watch because he's an interviewer that doesn't butt in.
Yeah.
He lets people talk, even if he disagrees with the individual.
Not like Fox News or CNN.
Yeah, or
any of them.
Anybody else online. I don't care who they are. Like, we've talked about Steven Crowder. I like Steven Crowder, but he does butt in.
Yeah, a lot. That interview with Chris Titus is one of my favorites because of how dumb it is.
Yeah, it is a stupid, stupid interview. But also, at least with Rubin, he usually has people in studio. When what's his face does it, it's usually over Skype, and Skype can be pretty
here or there
fidgety, or there'll be a slight delay, so it can be a little annoying. But yeah, Rubin is one of the best online people that I've watched.
He gives amazing interviews, and I feel like I talk about him all the time, but Tim Ferriss interviews are the same way. You ask a question and let the guest go off and explain it. There's too many people that preface, and I'm guilty of this at times when I want to get a point across, in the fear that people won't understand what I'm trying to say, I'll give like a paragraph lead into the question, which finally ends in something. Whereas instead I could just say, what is your opinion on
boom, blank? Go. Yeah. And also though, like Tim Ferriss, like I know like Steven Crowder, he'll still get on people that he doesn't necessarily agree with. But then they'll have like a heated debate, whereas Dave Rubin will have people that he doesn't agree with.
And it's a discussion.
But it's a mutual discussion, and there's no yelling, there's no screaming, there's no calling people names. And it's pleasant to watch. Yeah. Like, because he's generally interested into why people think the way they think.
Well, and I think that's very similar to the way we think, in that we're, you know, I guess when we were younger, it's probably like, oh, this person thinks that. What a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But now it's more like, I kind of want to know what people's opinions are and see how they reach conclusions, because it's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to an actual, I guess, progression of conversation, which...
Well, and also, like, there's been times when I've talked to people online that are drastically different from me. And it usually can go pretty well. Until somebody misreads something or whatever.
Always.
and then just freaks out or whatever. But usually if I'm face to face with somebody, because it's really hard online, at least, to get across to people that you're not trying to be condescending to them.
Inflection of voice is very undervalued.
Yeah, because if I was sitting face to face with the same person, I'm pretty sure I could get it across that I'm genuinely interested in what they're trying to talk about. Or I actually want to know their opinion on a situation, which nowadays, especially online, if you talk about anything that's not PC, like if I go onto a feminist website and go, hey, I'm just wondering why you feel this way about blank, 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 they immediately will just attack, well, depending on the website you go to, but some, the majority of them online at least, will just jump on you and go, oh my God, you're just a mansplaining idiot. And I'm like, no, I actually want to try to understand where you're coming from.
And you can explain that as many times to certain people in certain
positions,
they
just won't listen.
And they'll never understand.
Whereas if you're face to face.
And that could be, it's one of those things, you could try and have the same discussion with a right winger on Fox News. Like, I want to understand what you're saying. It was like, but you hate America.
Yeah. Pew, pew, pew. Whereas the majority of people, now there are still some people out there that will automatically take offense to it. But the majority of times, if you're face to face with that individual, if they can pick up your body language, pick up your tone of voice, and realize that you're not patronizing them, then they'll try and have a civil discussion, which I think that's what Dave Rubin is really good at, is he's not patronizing. He doesn't really voice his opinion a lot.
Simple, straightforward.
And he's really in between in a lot of things. Like I saw a video the other day. I didn't watch it, though, but it was just said why I'm still a liberal, why I still consider myself a liberal. But yet there is still a lot of things that he agrees with like
that are more conservative.
Exactly. But he still considered himself a liberal, which is interesting because nowadays you can't do that. You're either a liberal or a conservative. There's no in between.
The political spectrum is literally just at odds.
Ridiculous because I know we've said this before, but there's a lot of things that we are kind of on both sides with. Like,
yeah, I don't know. You could make the argument that you could literally make the argument depending on what side a person leans as to where we are.
Yeah.
A left-leaning person could say, you guys are really socially progressive, which we are. Then a centralist kind of liberal would be like, oh, yeah, you guys are right in the middle. It's like, yeah, we could be seen that way. And then like a right-winger from Fox News would be like, oh, yeah, Trump. I was like, nah.
But then other things, would you probably agree a lot with some gun-related things that some Fox... would say
the gun issue is so
not like I should be allowed to carry my gun anywhere I go, pew pew pew, but like just in general of like how the government can be a little too harsh.
Yeah, I think in most circumstances I tend to try and default to what science and statistics and math can tell me, and those are how I form my strong opinions, which I have very strong, as you know, economic opinions.
Yeah,
but my social opinions are mostly, do what's right for you. It's not my decision to decide what's right for you. And I also don't want to spend money deciding what's right for you.
Oh, God.
But that's beside the point.
Yeah, that's a whole
other
story.
This kind of leads to something. I wanted to talk about this, and it kind of just pleasantly fell into this little area. What are your thoughts? And I guess, in the interest of prefacing this, and over-prefacing, I thought about all the times we discuss what we do on this podcast. It might be good fodder and information that we could use in the podcast. So, podcast idea. What are your thoughts on actually getting people that are of interest to us and interviewing them either through Skype or something? Because, like we have these topical discussion podcasts, and it's good to have our opinions, but our opinions are fairly homogenous. Like, we think most of the same stuff.
Yeah. So you're saying, like, find people that necessarily won't be...
Maybe not 100. Even people that disagree with us, but just finding people from different walks of life who have come from different circumstances and interviewing them. Like, finding entrepreneurs that kind of don't fit the mold of, like, oh, millennials and their, you know, the job crisis and the economy. Finding millennials who are really successful, because there are many of them.
Yeah.
Like, I know many millennial millionaires.
Cool, say that five times fast.
Many millennial millionaires. That'll be the name of the episode.
Look at you with all your friends that are millionaires, Tommy.
But I just find it, like, breaking the paradigms, I guess, the societal norms and the quote-unquote common knowledge that isn't so common or pervasive.
It basically show people out there that millennials aren't exactly what they assume millennials are.
And that's kind of, then the thing is, that's true for everybody, because a lot of millennials don't fit into the mold that people have placed on Generation Y, and same thing with Gen X. And there's some baby boomers who aren't like the whippersnappers and yada yada yada.
And well, even like us to a certain extent, like I do see myself sometimes very much falling into the millennial.
It's really easy. Society just, that's how society works. The back of your brain is subconsciously trying to throw you in. It's like, oh, society thinks this, so I got to think it too.
But then there are aspects of me that definitely aren't very millennial. Like, I don't believe in that the world owes me something.
Right.
Like a lot of millennials do. Fuck. That really pisses me off. Like, I think that really comes, for me at least, comes from growing up in this, basically, I know a lot of people probably don't know this, but I don't care really. Like, I have a reading disability. So back when I was in elementary school and high school, it was pretty tough for me at times. And when I came to high school, I had what they call, I don't know if they have them in any other places, but an IEP.
Yeah, independent education plan.
So basically, I could use the school's resources if I needed help with things. But to me, even at a young age, I was just under the impression, like, not that I was ashamed of it, but I wanted to try and do the things before asking for help to see if I could do it, because I witnessed so many people that had IEPs like me that would immediately, when they were given a job to do, they were just like, oh, I need help. Can I go down to the resource room? And these people, I knew these people, and you know exactly who
I know the people you're talking about.
Who could do the job, but they just were lazy and didn't want to do it. And so it just frustrated me in going, I don't want to just take the handout because I'm allowed to. I want to try and do things. And it's kind of transferred into my adult life too. And I know we've had this discussion about when I left EB, how there were options out there for me in regards to government stuff that they could help me financially. And even though it's completely my money and like I've put into this money, I still don't feel like not that I should, but I want to try and not take it just to see if I can.
Even though you're rightfully entitled to it, it's just,
yeah,
it's kind of a source of pride. And like, this is kind of it's sort of a slippery slope, but I think it was two episodes ago, we talked about the whole everybody wins mentality.
Yeah.
Sometimes the people, even if they are struggling, they would prefer not to be patronized.
Yeah.
They don't want participation medals or ribbons. They want to make it on their own. Some people want to struggle because it's a source of growth and pride.
Yeah.
And I think they should be allowed to do that if that's what they're choosing.
Well, I find,
and like, I don't, that's the other thing. It's one thing to let people do what they choose, but also don't necessarily encourage taking the easiest route every time.
Yeah.
Even though a resource center for students is available, doesn't mean you have to push it just because one teacher's like, well, it'd be easier just to get him out of the class because he needs special help. It's like, you know, you could try at least the first couple of times to see if you can make it work, because once you build that dependency on it, you're kind of fucked.
It's kind of like, I know this is not exactly the same, but it's almost similar to like how people end up relying on particular drugs.
Yeah. Like, once you try it once, it becomes addicting. And like, it's like my adversity to drugs. I've never tried any, so I don't know what my tolerance is for them. But then again, at the same time, I've tried many prescription drugs for like when I had my back problems, because that's how old I am.
Yeah.
But I never had a negative kind of reaction to those. But at the same time, I just don't want to do recreational drugs because, you know, what if there is that one drug that's like, well, oh my God, I love hash brownies and pot and marijuana.
Well, and that's the thing. I think we're kind of no, and I'm not saying we're the only millennials like this. I guarantee you there are tons of them. But at least in around the people that we went to school with, not the majority of them, because even I think there were some people that would agree with us that we did go to high school with, but the amount of people that we saw in high school specifically, I'm just remembering high school a lot because we just had more people. Like in elementary school, we had such small groups of people.
Yeah. I think there were like 600 in our high school that we could examine. We had a good statistical resource of data to apply the scientific method to.
Where like even back then, and I know this again sounds kind of like we're tooting our own horns, but even at a young age,
you say that a lot. Every episode, you say it.
Because the amount of times I've seen people,
you know what, Justin, you're just coming across as an arrogant bastard.
Should I just be constantly tooting my horn? Just the amount of people that we witnessed, you and I, and we were in different grades because you're younger than me.
7 months.
Okay, you're a grade younger than me. So you saw a whole group of people doing that, and I saw a whole group of people like taking advantage of things that aren't necessarily, how am I supposed to word this? aren't given to you just to take the easy way, but they're just giving as an option. Like, it was so frustrating, especially with,
because everybody would take it.
Yeah, the only time I remember using my abilities like a superhero was when we were doing exams.
Justin with the superpower to not read good.
yeah, not read good. Was when we did exam times, because I got a little extra time with exams. But there was like the
hell, I would have used that resource, because some of the kids who would just like breathe too loud in the class was fucking distracting.
But the kid that we were talking about earlier, because he's my age, that we were talking about earlier, and I've told you this numerous times, is the one that I still remember this day vividly. I was in art class, okay? I was in, get that over through your heads, people. I was in an art class.
Very much a very subjective class.
And very much a throwaway class.
At least in our school.
So, class starts, everybody sits down, teacher goes up, this is what we're going to be doing today, shows us some slides. She goes, okay, everybody, I would like you to just write a paragraph about this particular artist that we just learned about. The person that we're talking about immediately puts his hand up and goes, can I go to the resource room? And he, because I can't do this. And she's just like, okay, whatever, go. And I had been in the resource room witnessing people there doing their work, and I just did air quotes.
Air quotes. Or as we like to call them, crab quotes on Brain Sandwich.
And I get being a resource teacher probably can be very frustrating at times. But I've witnessed resource teachers literally just doing the work for the child.
Yeah, because that does a special needs, not even special needs, that does somebody who has a learning disability so much good.
Because this resource room wasn't necessarily completely for special needs per se, it was just for people who have IEPs. And so the people that I witnessed these teachers doing their work for them are totally capable of doing these jobs, these tests, not tests, but like papers or whatever.
Right.
But they were just too lazy to do it. And I'm sorry, but lazy isn't a disability. Lazy is just...
It's a bad personality trait. That's all it is.
Yeah, and he just... This guy just took advantage of it, basically.
It's kind of... you know my position on the education system as a general whole in the westernized world.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, individual education plans actually make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, tailoring education to the person who is learning, you know, maybe they don't want to conform to society in a certain particular way. That's why I'm such a big proponent of homeschooling, because the people who probably know how a child learns best are its parents.
It's like parents.
The school system is just so, it's based on a 1,000-year-old system that hasn't been improved. It's like you go to classes, you have professors who have opinions, it gets a bunch of government money, does really poorly, racks you up a lot of debt.
Oh yeah, especially universities and colleges. Like, if you flip through the university and college books and see what the courses they offer, I guarantee you'd probably roll your eyes more than going, hey, that seems interesting. Because the things that they say could justify as a course are ridiculous. That really, you're not going to learn anything, or you're going to get a course like a social studies course where the particular person who's teaching the course is clearly one-sided in regards to social
issues.
Issues. And so they don't really get a full picture, a big picture of what society really is.
Well, especially when ideas aren't allowed to butt heads in an environment where learning is supposed to be fostered and ideas have to compete and debate. You know, even civilized, everything becomes an uncivilized, heated, angry debate where there's tears and like things getting thrown and yelling.
But it's like with art teachers too, like, how do you really grade art?
Like, yeah, it's like what data sets? Math. Math is the easiest thing to grade.
There
is a right and a wrong answer.
Yeah.
And yeah, some people want to grade you, you got to show your work. No, I got the fucking right answer. It doesn't matter how I got the answer.
Yeah.
You could have looked on a calculator. Well, fuck you.
But like, example, say if I went to an art class And my teacher was studied abstract art.
Yeah.
And that's how they that's all they knew.
Because that's really easy to grade.
Yeah. But then I say if I was a good painter or drawer, and I drew this amazing lifelike portrait, and they were just but then somebody else, Jimmy beside me, painted this stupid, ugly, abstract piece of crap.
He threw some painted marbles on a painting, we did in kindergarten, just shuffled them around.
Yeah, he literally, let's say, uses macaroni noodles. And I guarantee you, if the teacher is an idiot, which there's a lot of idiot teachers out there, but they were probably like, you know how frustrated I would be if Jimmy got the same mark as me?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I get it. Art's subjective, blah, 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 blah. But you can't really, I don't know. It's kind of, unless you're doing a study of a particular art style and you're only learning that, then that's different.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't think you can necessarily grade a piece of art from a student so much. Like, say you're taking an art class, and one of the subjects in the class is art history, which is almost certainly going to be on there.
Art herstory.
Herstory. So you can grade people on recalling facts.
Their knowledge.
Which, as we know, is a shit way to test people. Yeah. Recalling facts is horrible. It doesn't mean you learned anything.
Yeah.
Actually applying it. Now, in the sense of art, like, how do you actually grade something that somebody creates subjectively out of their mind? You can't. Especially abstract art, because, like, what am I looking at? Is it a glob of paint? It is... I was going to say something real dirty, but...
Is it a vagina?
Well, no, I wasn't going that dirty.
Well, then how dirty were you going to go? Is it a piece of crap?
No.
But that's the thing.
Like, sorry, one too many beers.
You've had two.
One too many.
Oh, okay. Haha. I don't know. It's tough. I would never want to be an art teacher because, like... Yeah, I'm just going to be repeating what I was going to say before. All right.
Well,
but I'm pretty sure you probably had some teachers in universities or college and university that you were just like, these guys shouldn't even be here.
Yeah, completely.
Like, why are you even here?
I mean, I was at the disadvantage of taking... When I came away from university, I felt like, wow, I repeated this stuff that I had already done in college. Literally, the courses were the same. I had to take the same subjects, do the same practical exams. And that was bad enough because when I was in college, when I got there, I was like, holy shit, this is my high school economics class all over again. I mean, it was really good for my grade. I really just had to look back at old notes, which I never took anyway.
Yeah.
And just regurgitate things.
But like...
The only time you couldn't do that, and that's why I kind of like my favorite classes were like the advanced like statistical math, financial math, economics, those kind of things, because you can't fudge it. It's not like, oh, write a 3-paragraph mm-hmm. essay and just give your opinion. And as long as you put big words, the teacher will grade it. It's like, no, math is math. You have to get these numbers right or you're screwed.
Yeah.
It's certainly more of a challenge. It creates more stress, certainly, especially if you really care about your grade, which at the time I did, but ultimately more rewarding.
Well, actually, you know, an interesting thing about whole... like depending on the teacher and the situation and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying that this teacher pushed anything on us because he was actually one of my favorite teachers, but it was in a science class and we watched the documentary. Oh shit, what was the Al Gore documentary?
I don't remember.
The one about global warming and shit.
Yeah.
And we watched it because it was science class. And we, after watching it, we were like, oh my God, the world is going to explode. And lo and behold.
We're still here.
Yeah. And I know we were talking about this the other day, saying like, we should rewatch that documentary and see how much they predicted was going to happen. Oh, that's the doc.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What was the global, what was it called?
We're not going to figure out the name, anyways, so don't even stick to it.
But, it'd be interesting to look back on it and see how much bullshit they were just spewing.
I'm going to put that in the notes to watch.
Because you actually want to watch
it. I want to watch it and then like discuss on the next episode.
And again, the teacher wasn't pushing this at all. It's just the documentary had just came out. It was really hot to watch. So we were like, why don't we watch it and see what it's all about? But when you're at a young age like that, it's pretty easy to
get, impresses on your mind.
Yeah, and I think I don't know if I've said this before in the podcast or just in general topics, but at that time I was pretty liberal. Like, I considered myself a liberal because all the teachers we had that I liked were all very, very advertised as liberals. Like, yeah. Whenever there was elections on, we would
Their
see teachers with buttons, with liberal buttons on it, vote for whoever was running at that time. And me being naive and not knowing too much about politics, I would just be like, oh, okay, well, the teachers I like happen to be voting liberal.
And they must be smart because I like them.
Yeah. And
simple association.
But then as I got older and realized why teachers vote a liberal most of the time, I was like, oh. Especially one teacher that we had who, I don't think he's a teacher anymore. I think he works on the board. You know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
I now really see why he's liberal. but I'm not, I know it sounds like I'm shitting on people's political views. Actually, you know what? I am shitting on people's political views.
Here's the interesting part too, though. If you want to discuss these topics with us on Twitter, as long as you're willing to have a civilized non-screaming, like, it's Twitter, you can't really scream.
Yeah.
But if you're not going into an all caps rage, we'll have the discussion. And we'll also ask to see, we want to know your opinion. We don't want to just throw things in your direction, be like, you got to believe this. Like, we have our opinions, yes, but we're fairly open-minded, as much as it may not seem that way.
Yeah. Well, and also I will forewarn you, if you end up having a political discussion with us on Twitter, I have a tendency to be very sarcastic. So take everything I say with a grain of salt.
Don't talk to us if you don't understand sarcasm, because although we believe
in everybody, we'll piss you off with sarcasm.
we believe in everybody's right to their beliefs, but everything has to be funny or it's just no fun.
Yeah. Actually, you know what I was thinking about doing the other day is taking a trip and hitting up all the religious, like, churches or places like that, and going in and going, hey, I want to learn, and this is just me wanting free stuff, but I want to see if I hit up all these different religious sites, if I can get, like, free Bibles or holy books out of them. Because remember on Halloween when we were leaving the Chinese food restaurant and the guys at the corner were giving out Bibles?
Oh,
and
yeah.
You wanted to go for a walk, and I was like, I want one of them Bibles. And you're like, well, I got to go put on my walking shoes. And I'm like, well, if they're not here when we get back here, I'm going to be mighty pissed. And guess what? They weren't there.
And Justin was mighty pissed.
Because I'll always accept a free Bible. And so, and you know what? Part of me is genuinely interested in religions as a whole, because I like to know why people do the things they do or believe in the things they believe. So I know
And religion ties in really, like, as we both know, hard into history. It's a big part of why history evolves a certain way.
Exactly.
Because there were certain codified beliefs that everyone had.
And growing up Catholic, like, I'm not a practicing Catholic anymore, but how many years? 15 years? Yeah, about 15 years in Catholic school. That's all you learn, and that's all you're ever taught. So I don't really know much about other religions.
Yeah, there's not exactly a lot of room for exploration of differing ideas.
No.
Which is exactly why I had... That was my whole problem in school, not just religion in school, is that there's no room to challenge beliefs. Like, it's one thing... Yes, I get it. You can't challenge math. That's one thing you learn very early on, is that math is very concrete, but you can't challenge social views. You can't talk to the teachers and be like, why do you vote this way? It's like, well, because it's the right way. Well, that's not an answer.
Or in religion, like, why do you believe in this particular religion? Well, because you have to. Like, there was a lot of that. Like, and so I'm generally interested in just seeing, like, a lot of the ones that are similar to Catholicism. I want to go in and kind of learn what really is the difference between Baptist or what are the other ones? Anglican. The different religions that are quite similar to each other. I want to know just really why, what makes them better than other religions. Like, well, really.
That's the thing I always found quite fascinating, is that many Christians believe 90 to 99% of the same things, but don't bother going into one of their churches because, oh, you're a...
like it's
you're a Protestant. Get out of here.
I know. Like it just doesn't a Protestant. That's one.
Well, Protestant is just any non-Catholic Christian.
Oh, okay.
That's really.
See, I didn't even know that.
Protestant is a Catholic term for the untouchables.
Oh, the undesirables.
They believe in God, but not the right God. But it's still it's our still God. The God. It's still our God, but not our God.
Like that doesn't make any sense to me. And like, it just it's.
That's why my rebellion as a kid was always against like. I don't have an issue with faith. I have a serious issue with organized religion.
Oh yeah, no, they should be all thrown out. And you know, I do have some issues, I guess, with faith in regards to why believe in something that creates such a horrible world too.
I saw that Facebook video you posted. My issues with faith are mainly I'm quite comfortable with people who have a faith that doesn't interfere with anybody else. Mm-hmm. Which is why I don't even mind people that preach or just trying to share the good word, so to say.
Yeah.
But I have a serious issue with like the shove in people, like this is what you have to believe. This
and if you don't believe it, you're going to die. Or
like,
something.
I don't like there are some atheists that will crap on like any person of any religion who has a good moral code because they were raised by a certain religion or in a certain religion. But they can't see past the fact that this is a non-preachy, not in-your-face person. It's like, it's just a nice person who happens to believe in something. But they immediately have to be like, oh, this person's a complete dumbass. Like, but they're nice.
You know who, a person who's relatively, well, not relatively, he is famous, that is like that, that is kind of annoying?
Charles Darwin?
No.
Oh, wait.
Not, Charles Darwin. Not I know who you mean, though.
What the hell is his name?
I forget, but... No, somebody who's quite famous, and whenever he tries to talk to somebody about religion, he comes off as very patronizing, is Joe Rogan. Like, I've seen him talk to people who are religious, and he just
comes off as a jerk?
Yeah, kind of. And I get it, he's a comedian, he's trying to be funny, but he just reiterates the point. He's just like, I don't understand how you can put all this faith into just basically a wizard I don't know it. And I like Joe Rogan though. Like I like that he's a skeptic on everything. Like yeah. He doesn't just take everything at face value. He goes, well, why do people do this? But then also sometimes when he really believes something, cause I'm pretty,
he's just as bad as like an evangelical person who, kind of like the anti-vaxxers.
Exactly.
Now, I'm not saying Joe Rogan.
No, he's not.
But he could be as bad as the people like, well, it's just this. And
yeah.
Like, that's like, why I like Sam Harris a lot, because everything usually comes around to reason and argument. And even Sam Harris, as anti-religion, and every religion he is, he's really good friends with, I believe his name is Majid Nawaz, who is a former, you would call him an Islamist. He was a former extremist who converted like he was a kid. So obviously you're kind of raised a certain way in a certain area. But this is a man who believes in Allah and Muhammad. But Sam Harris has many like good discussions with him about the merits of religion and spirituality that don't become heated, awful debates, even though Sam Harris is a like staunch atheist.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like you see a lot of people online that are somewhat semi-religious or not necessarily religious, but they think that any atheists are automatically just people who hate on people who have religion. And no, I would consider myself...
The trick to finding those people that hate everything online is if it's in their bio online.
Yeah, like, I would you classify me as an atheist or an agnostic?
Probably agnostic.
Because
I don't know. I don't know what level you're convinced that there is not some either greater structure in the universe, not necessarily God.
No.
But
I see
greater divinity.
Part of me would be like, part of me wants there to be because it would just be really cool. But then another part of me goes, but I wouldn't put faith in that person
or individual. I think you can still be agnostic and kind of lack the, I don't know.
It's not like I would, if I found out that there was some kind of all divine being that built the universe, I wouldn't immediately just start praying to them. I'd be like, oh, okay, that's neat.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't, Well, I don't know. I can't really say if it would change my life. But yeah, I wouldn't start like doing offerings to this individual because clearly they're not doing anything right now. Like, unless they started changing the universe, then yeah, okay. I think it would be cool if there was, but I still don't believe that they are. If there is a divine being, I doubt it's anything like any religion has made.
Yeah.
Because I don't think even humans would have the capability of figuring out or processing what that being would be. Yeah, I know we're getting pretty spiritual here.
I was just thinking, what do you think about leaving the main topic for episode 8? Because now if we get onto it, this is going to be a whole other episode.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I didn't, yeah, we're almost running at an hour already, and
never touched on
it. Yeah, and you were worried we weren't
even able to produce an episode, but hey, we got some good stuff in this one.
Oh, yeah, like this is basically what we're like in general, like, we have
asking questions.
Yeah, we have our beliefs and we have our opinions, but yeah, there are some opinions that I'm pretty like can be kind of crass about sometimes, but most of the time I'm open to ideas.
I'm the same way. It's like
there are some really stupid people out there though that just frustrate me.
I think the anti-vaxxer one is the one that really, really bugs me. Like, I still kind of look at the say, for instance, the gluten-free kind of position, because I'll look at it and say, well, some people have these anecdotal sort of experiences where removing gluten from their diet seems to make them feel better in a certain way. And then I start asking questions like, well, could there be a correlation to the fact that most gluten is contained in carbohydrate foods, yeah, like simple sugars? Like, you eat too much bread and you have a sugar crash because you're processing it into glucose, that sort of thing. So there's like underlying issues. I want to understand those. Now, there is no science to back up the anti-vaxxer movement. And so that one really gets me.
Oh, yeah. Vaccines give people every, like, that's the reason for every problem ever. I'm like, no, you idiots. Yeah, they're just straight up idiots. but there's idiots on every side. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that there'd probably be less non-idiots on the anti-vaxxer side than more so, but there's definitely idiots on the like agnostic and atheist side too.
Well, and see, that's the thing, kind of, I guess, going back to the anti-vax movement, I understand skepticism. You're injecting an unknown liquid that you don't scientifically know.
Yeah.
Like, you have to trust a certain amount to the doctors, the pharmacies, that kind of stuff. I get the skepticism. I don't get the advertised preachiness of you can't vaccinate your kids because they're going to have a mental disability. It's like, no, do not say that because there is nothing to back that up.
Yeah.
Be skeptical, ask questions. Don't blatantly just go out and say, oh, this is
But Tommy, if a famous ex-porn star says it, then that automatically makes it true because she's Dr. Science.
And she was on The View.
Yeah, so she obviously knows, like, if Whoopi says something, then it's true. Because obviously, because reasons.
Because reasons.
And yeah.
2016, like, I mean, this was probably 2014.
Oh, God, yeah, this is going way back.
Wow, the year 2014 doesn't roll off the tongue very well.
No.
2015, 2016, 2017, 2014, it's just like, it's pretty jumbled.
I can't wait until we get to 2020. Because that'd just be easy. 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024.
We'll just start calling it like, it's the year 21.
21! But yeah, that's the thing, like, everybody out there, just have mutual discussions with people. Why does everything have to be so angry all the time?
Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Just mellow out. Just understand that people are going to have different viewpoints.
You know what? Hug it out, people.
Hug it out digitally.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Justin.
I've been Tom. Well, actually, follow us on Twitter. Well,
I was going to say that after we say goodbye. Oh,
but okay. It's like an episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
So, I've been Justin.
I've been Tommy.
If you want to contact us, find us on Twitter at
Brain Sandwich.
And if you want
to go to our website, get old episodes, new episodes.
That's at
brainsandwich.com, BrainSamich.com.
And like we said earlier in the episode, please, 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 go to iTunes, give us some stars and some likes and some good reviews on any media outlet that you can listen to us on.
You know what? Even if you hate this episode,
yeah,
tell us honestly.
Yeah.